Sandra Swain from the Daily Astorian, and you're listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. And my guest today is Tiffany Estes. Welcome.
Thank you, Sandra.
It's nice to have the president of the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association here. That's such
a mouthful.
It really is. Even the acronym or the abbreviation, ADHDA, I have a hard time with that. But anyway, it's the Downtown Association.
Correct.
Yes. Well, I know from the Astoria City Council that you all are hoping to join the Main Street program for downtown. Can you tell us what that's about?
Sure. The Main Street program is has been around in Oregon since 1986 and ran through 2002. And then I think some funding issues at the state level caused the program to go on hold for a while. And they've just brought it back in the 2007-2008 legislature. And it is kind of modeled after the national program for Main Streets at the National Trust. And it kind of provides a roadmap for downtown communities like ours to move their downtowns forward. There's a big tie to historic preservation in those efforts. And it's really all about economic development, preserving a sense of place for the community, and making the most that we can of our downtowns. So we're wanting to re-enter that program. Astoria actually had been part of the Main Street program, I believe, in the mid-80s up until the early 90s. And there are three levels of participation in the program, and we would be coming in at the entry level, so to speak, called Exploring Downtown. It's a fairly low commitment on our part, but it gets us access to a lot of technical and intellectual resources at the state office in terms of board development, committee development, fundraising, how to go about those things in an effective way. So we felt that there was no reason not to do this. If we're trying to achieve some specific goals, this would provide kind of some loose guidelines for us to follow and in order to reach those goals.
I would think that Astoria's downtown is already kind of on the right path.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, certainly plenty of historic buildings, and they are being preserved, thanks in part to your husband, I guess, Brad Estes, who is the director of the Astoria Community Development Department.
Right. There are already a lot of pieces in place, which is what makes this attractive. What we're hoping to do is to be able to reduce the vacancies that we have downtown, get those spaces filled, make sure it's the right mix of businesses so that we're not duplicating too much of what we already have, but are complementing what's there. Maybe bringing in some things that we've been missing. So that's kind of all part of what we're looking at doing.
Now, this doesn't cost any money, does it, to join?
No, it does not. I mean, you are required to fulfill some obligations to the program, but at this Exploring Downtown level, the commitment is fairly low. We did have to have city support in terms of submitting a letter of intent to the state program, and they've agreed to do that Tuesday night at council. We completed a brief community assessment survey just so they've got a really good sense of what assets we have in our community, what's been done already, and kind of where we are right now and what challenges we're facing. So that all goes into the state office. And then I've spoken with the state coordinator, Sherry Stewart, in Salem, and I said, how quickly can we get approved and start using the resources that you have? And she said, well, typically, once I get your information, it takes a day or two for me to review it, and then you're on board. So I very quickly we'll be able to tap into those resources.
That really is fast. What can you be specific about some of those resources that you might be trying to take advantage of initially?
Sure. We're going to be, undertaking some fundraising efforts in the very near future, so some input on that would be helpful. We've got a really, what I consider to be a really strong board already, but they may be able to improve some of our efforts there and get our committees going. We already have four committees identified and people working on those committees, and they include business development, promotions, design, and communication. So those, we already are kind of working under the auspices of the Main Street organization. And in fact, I learned just recently that when ADHDA was first formed, I believe in the mid-80s, it was done as part of a Main Street program. So our bylaws even mirror some of the organization and the tenets that the Main Street program is all about.
Oh, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. The AD, I have to
HDA,
AD, HDA seemed to have been kind of dormant for a while. You're a relative newcomer here. Are you kind of, and already the president, did you sort of energize this, or do you just still have energy because the other people were worn out?
Maybe it's because I'm new. I did, in the last community I lived in, I was involved in the downtown group with the Tuesday Market, and I served as a board member of that organization as a co-chair my last year. And so I felt like I learned a lot through that experience. And when we visited Astoria before we ever moved here, I loved the downtown area, and I saw so many great opportunities in addition to what was already happening. I mean, there's already a lot of great things with the market and the Liberty Theater and all the restaurants and retail. And I don't feel like we've reached our full potential yet. And whatever we do is going to be to serve the businesses and the property owners that are downtown already, and hopefully bring in new ones that can fill those empty spaces. So, it's hard for me to stand by and not try to jump in and help that effort. And there are a lot of people who are really passionate about it. At our last general meeting, which was, Friday, February 5th, we're on first Fridays at Baked Alaska. We had at least 25 people there, and normally you might have 12 to 15 showing up. So I feel like the word's getting out and people are interested and wanting to help. So there's definitely a resurgence in the energy, and part of what we want to do, you can see this if you track the history of the organization, it's ebbed and flowed over time. You get a new bunch of people in, there's excitement, things happen, and then over time they get burned out, or for whatever reason, things just kind of stop happening or they slow down. And our board really would like to get to a point where we can have a full-time staff person again. We did have that before in the initial incarnation of the organization.
And, back in the 80s?
Right. I think it was late 80s, early 90s. And we can just do so much more with a staff person. And we really need that to be able to transcend the changes in volunteer leadership and participation, to have any continuity. So it's really, in my opinion, it's really not sustainable to do this over the long term without having that continuity that a staff person could provide.
About how many businesses are there downtown? Do you have any idea?
I don't have a number of how many there are. My guess is we've got probably a couple hundred.
Oh, really? I guess.
Well, when you start looking at all the little parcels, one building might have four or five different businesses in it. And it's a pretty large footprint. The district goes from, 8th Street to 16th Street, the riverfront to Exchange, and then all of the properties that abut that line. So in other words, the properties right across 8th Street would be included, right across Exchange Street would be included, and so forth. So it's a pretty large area to cover.
It really is. Who are some of the other people who are on the board of directors of this organization?
Oh, let's see. We have Michael Weisenflew, who is our past president. There are nine of us. So there's Michael, there's me, Rosemary Pavala of Columbia Travel, Julie Bay of Country Crafters, Jennifer Holland from Baked Alaska, Paulette McCoy from the Bicentennial Celebration, Daryl Moore from Astoria Fog. How many is that?
I don't know, but it's certainly a large number of people.
Pat Saunders from the Astoria Music Festival. There's nine of us.
It's wonderful that so many people were willing to take this on.
Definitely. Yeah. We couldn't do it without a strong board and people who are really believe in a vision for downtown.
Well, you're listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio.
Dulcie Taylor, also from Old Town Framing. I know I've missed someone.
I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have asked that question because it's always easy to leave someone out. This is After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. I'm Sandra Swain, and our guest today is Tiffany Estes, and she is the president of the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association, the Downtown Association, which seems to be having a resurgence right now. Well, you yourself are a business owner down there, and I've always been fascinated by the name of your company. It's Whole Brain Creative mm-hmm. Incorporated. I'm just wondering, is that at all like whole grain? I mean, is it a play on words?
No, it's about right and left brain.
Oh, I knew that part, but I just thought maybe underlying.
No, I get called that a lot, but it has nothing to do with, you know, but hey, if it works, I'll go along with that. But no, it's all about right and left brain. Okay. I feel like I'm a kind of different than some artists and designers, where I have the creative side, but I also have the business side, and it's a pretty good marriage of skill sets, and I think makes it more comfortable for people who are very business and numbers oriented to work with me, because they can relate at least on that level, even if they may not relate as much on the artistic side.
So you're not into the starving artist model at all?
No, I'm making a living. I have to do that.
Well, explain, if you would, some of the things that you do with your business.
Well, I started working full-time on my own business in 2002, in January, when we first moved to Oregon. I had been working full-time, you know, in traditional environments before that, and felt like that was my chance if I ever wanted to go out on my own to do it at that time.
Were you doing the same type of thing?
I was. Communication, marketing communications, art direction, graphic design, things like that. So I came to Oregon. I knew about two people, and they were relatives. What that did, and how this kind of ties into what we're talking about today, is you know, we first lived in Hillsboro, and we lived there for about 5.5 years before we moved to Astoria.
Where did you come from?
I grew up in the Houston area in Texas. Oh. So we were living a little bit north of there, and commuting in opposite directions every day. So that's part of the reason we wanted to change our circumstances. But when I landed in Hillsboro and started getting my business set up, I already had some clients from Houston that I brought with me. But I realized that people weren't going to just come knocking on my door. I needed to get out. And at that stage in my life, I was very reserved and shy and quiet. And I realized that's not going to work.
Are you telling us you've changed?
I've changed, yes. And hopefully for the better. What it caused me to do was to get involved in the community. So I immediately went out and got involved in the Chamber of Commerce, the market, downtown things, and the Rotary Club. And between all of those, I started building connections with people. And I didn't do it, you know, with the idea that I was going to get business out of it, but I needed some human interaction on a regular basis. And but it turned into business. And I still do work for a lot of people in that area, including the city, and have even served on a downtown advisory committee for them after I moved. So I've been able to learn a lot that way and build some good relationships. And I'm doing kind of the same thing here, more motivated by wanting to have a sense of involvement and to contribute to the place where I live. But it turns into business. So it's not a bad thing.
Well, it sounds as if, since you still have clients from Houston, that you could just do this sort of business anywhere. In fact, you could be doing it in your own home, but you're not.
I could. I did the home thing for a few years, and you know, it's really hard to disconnect and enjoy home life when your phone's ringing after hours, and you think, okay, do I just let it ring and go to voicemail, or do I go try to resolve this issue? And I made the jump probably 4 years ago to get into an office space, and I did it in a historic building in downtown Hillsboro, and loved it. It really gave me some separation, and it does, you know, like it or not, it does give you a kind of a different level of credibility. Even though more and more people do work out of their homes, and it's great, people do look at you a little bit differently if you have an office space. So that's an added benefit, but I really do it for the separation of home and work life.
One of my daughters worked out of her home for quite a while, and I remember the little space that where the computer was, and the children weren't supposed to go over. And
you have to be very, kind of very hard. Disciplined, and yes. And I could do that, but I didn't like feeling kind of trapped at work. And Brett was saying, oh, you should just save the money and just work at home. And I said, you try sleeping at your office. And then he kind of understood.
Yeah. And where is your office located?
I'm in the Spexarth building. So another historic building, corner of 8th and Commercial. And I was the first tenant on the third floor for a long time. Oh. I was up there by myself while they were finishing build out. But now the floor's almost full, and it's a great spot to work. And it's about two blocks from my house, but I can't see it from my house, so that's good.
And that building is certainly an example of one that was very wonderfully renovated and restored, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's been very well done, and it's a great example. I think Warren Williams, who owns the building, even got a Dr. Harvey Award for his work on that building in the last year or two.
Yeah, that was very nice. So what do you think will be the first thing that you do as soon as if you are, and I'm assuming you will be accepted into this Main Street?
Well, one of the first things we want to do, getting back to that goal of having a staff person, obviously that's something that we have to pay for. There are various ways to do that, and we want to find a way that's going to work for people, the constituents in the downtown area. But one of the ideas we have right now is to raise some funds and participate in a volunteer program that's run through the University of Oregon, where we can have access to essentially a full-time volunteer for 11 months that would be staffed as a downtown manager.
An intern?
Yes, like an intern. And we do, the program funds, gives them a stipend every month and provides them a computer and things like that. We would need to provide them office space, a phone line, and then the community has to contribute $19,000 toward their expenses and the expense of the program for that 11-month period. Well, you know as well as I do, you'd be hard-pressed to find a full-time person who would do that job for $20,000 for 11 months. So it's a deal, and it's something we have to apply for. It's something we have to fund. But we do have a grant from the Sunday Market, the Astoria Sunday Market, that we secured for another purpose, and we're trying to determine whether that might be used to support this effort. If it is, we've got to raise $9,000. If it isn't, we raise $19,000.
Oh, so it's a $10,000
grant. It is.
Okay.
It is. It is. They were very generous with us, and that was secured last fall. But we're kind of changing our course a little bit and saying, what if we can get someone in place and show our downtown business owners and property owners what we can do with a paid staff person, for almost a year. And then at that point say, okay, we want to continue this. How can we do that? How can we pay for that and make it work for everybody?
What was it for originally?
It was kind of a holdover from a grant application that had been initiated in 2008, I believe, when there was an interest in doing another EID campaign. So the grant would have been for the purposes of putting together the logistics and all the ins and outs of what would an EID.
What is an EID?
It's an Economic Improvement District. Mm. And it's something that had been in place when the Downtown Association first started. There was an effort, I believe, in 2001 to put one in place again, and that effort failed. And not for lack of effort on the part of a lot of volunteers. I understand it was a valiant attempt, and just it didn't make it. So, and we're, we know kind of what the economic climate is out there right now. And we're not, we had some trepidation about trying to do that again when the economy is like it is. And we were thinking that if we can show value first and then ask people how can we fund this on a sustainable, more permanent level, then they would be more willing to participate.
And how do you think you'll be able to raise that $9,000?
Well, we have about 4 months between now and the time that we would need to have that funding secured. Our board alone has already committed to contributing $1,000 among the nine of us. So, we'd be going door to door, block to block, trying to get people to contribute to that effort. And that contribution would be getting us a full-time staff person for 11 months. So I think it's a bargain.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like
sure,
it.
Sure. And if we can get enough people to participate, it lightens the load on everyone. So I think it's a very small investment, very small risk, and I think it's going to generate a big payoff.
Do people already pay dues to belong to the ADHDA?
They do not. We don't have a dues structure in place right now. We're surviving on donations and on the backs of volunteers. And we know from history that that's not a sustainable way to run an organization.
Right.
So we have to change that over time.
Right. Well, you're listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. I'm Sandra Swain. And our guest is Tiffany Estes, who is the president of the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association. And it seems that she's just filled with enthusiasm and new ideas, and it just sounds great because ever since I've lived here, and I've been here for 25 years, it seems that improving the downtown has always been a big goal for the Astoria City Council and for the businesses, and certainly it's improved a great deal mm-hmm. since then. Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of the biggest problems down there? The one that comes to my mind are the vacant storefronts, which unfortunately are owned by the Flavelle family, and they don't seem very interested in doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, those aren't the only ones. There are several vacant properties that could be better used. So we have that. Our business development committee is working on that. In fact, their city council also approved Tuesday night for city staff to pursue a CLG grant, which is a certified local government grant. And those come available, I believe, only every year or every 2 years that we're able to apply for something. And staff received approval to pursue that grant opportunity. And it would be, if they're able to get it, it would be up to a $17,000 grant that has to be matched, but it can be matched with staff time, volunteer time. You can be a little bit creative about how you come up with your matching funds. But that would be used to do a comprehensive downtown inventory. So we know what square footage we have, not only in our buildings, but in the little divisions within buildings where they've been parceled up into individual tenant spaces, and go into basement areas, upper floors, do some data collection on what codes and zoning would apply to those spaces, and ultimately give us a tool that we can use to be able to recruit businesses when we've got these vacant spaces. I know when I came to town, I had, and I'm a one-person office, so I'm, not terribly attractive probably to a real estate agent or anything like that, but I had a little bit of a hard time figuring out who owns the buildings, who do I need to call, what's available, other than going to the newspaper, which is, a good option.
But, and we love to hear that for the Daily Astorian.
But if people aren't advertising their space, you're not going to see it in the newspaper.
Right.
So we're hoping that this tool is something that the chamber could use, Cedar could use, the Downtown Association could use, anyone who's involved in recruiting and retaining local businesses.
Yeah, Cedar, what is it, the Clatsop Economic
Development Resources.
Resources,
right.
Yes.
Right.
So many acronyms all
yeah.
the time.
Right? It's easier than ADHDA.
Yes, it is. I'm going to start singing that to myself at home so I can say it without stumbling. But yeah, I thought that there was an inventory underway already with a couple of interns from Clatsop Community College.
They're actually working on a 3D modeling mm-hmm. of the downtown. We had an intern, we had access to an intern for a set amount of time this past summer, and she did some preliminary work on the inventory. But when you look at what's available, the information isn't comprehensive. The map that we have is one that's not available electronically. So every time we make changes, we're going in with whiteout, and it's not an ideal situation.
Yeah.
So, and it's not comprehensive. We don't have information on upper floors. We don't have information on basements. We have square footage footprints for the ground floor of a building, but not how it's divided up inside. So it provides some information, but certainly not a complete picture.
Well, that does sound like just the real basic tool that you're going to need.
It's a starting place. So if this grant comes through and we're able to proceed with that work, we won't be starting at zero. We'll have a place to start, but it will be a more comprehensive tool.
And the city is working on a derelict building ordinance, I know, too. So that might be helpful in kind of...
Right. And we have one of our members, Dulcie Taylor is a representative on that effort, and Susan Tribuco as well is going to be sitting in on those meetings so that downtown has a voice at those conversations.
Well, looking at downtown, can you think of any businesses that are lacking down there that might be good ones to attract, just from what you already know?
We really need to do a gap analysis to be able to make those determinations. There are people who say we don't need any more restaurants. We have plenty of those. People have ideas. I would like to look at the businesses that are there and say, what suppliers are you using that are outside our area? And would there be, say if you had enough businesses that shared a need for a laundry service or something like that, putting things like that downtown that aren't going to take away from existing businesses, but support existing businesses and make them stronger and bring more, spending downtown. The more that we can spend our dollars in our own community, the better off we're all going to be.
And is parking perceived as an issue? I know that it actually, the studies show that it shouldn't be because there is adequate parking, but how do people feel about it?
It's a mixed bag. Some people say there is no problem. Other people say, yes, there is. So it depends on who you talk to and where they're situated downtown. I believe, some of those studies were done a little while back. We've had new things happening with renovation of the Commodore Hotel. We have that place is full a lot of the time, and people may be struggling for places to park. So when you have these things redeveloped and they're successful, people need a place to park. So I do think it's something we need to be mindful of and keep an eye on. And in fact, one of the things the Downtown Association has done in the last few months is weigh in on some parking requirements of the Legion block, what they're now calling the Legion block, the old Safeway block. And so we were successful in getting an outcome there that would require some turnover of parking on part of the lot so that we didn't have too many employees parking there and not leave space for customers.
Yeah, that really has been a perennial topic, what to do with that block. And eventually, of course, I think most people hope that it will not be used for parking at all. So then you'll kind of be back to...
Well, and that's another thing that the city is looking at, and we have another, Dulcie Taylor is also sitting in on those discussions on our behalf, so the Downtown Association will have a voice there as well. Mm. So we're trying to be at the table.
Well, and how much more time do we have, Terry Wilson, our engineer? He says just 1 minute, so
okay.
I guess it would be a good time for you to tell us if you have any thoughts that you'd like to leave everybody with here about your organization and what you're trying to do.
Okay. Well, we're meeting every the first Friday of the month at Baked Alaska at 8:30. We'd love to have more people coming to those meetings. We want to make sure that whatever we do downtown is benefiting the local businesses and property owners, but we need to hear from them in order to do that work. We're also collecting email addresses right now so that we've got a very efficient communication system. That's something that we've been lacking. So we're trying to do that. We can, if people are interested, they can email me at tbestes, E-S-T-E-S, at wholebraincreative.com, and we can get them on the list. And if anyone's moved to make a contribution to our fundraising effort, they can send that to our P.O. box, which is... gosh, I had it written down.
Well, can they call the Chamber of Commerce for information in case they...
They can
because we're kind of... All right, well...
P.O. Box 261.
All right, P.O. Box 261. All right, you've been listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. I'm Sandra Swain, and this was Tiffany Estes, our guest today. Be sure to tune in next Friday morning.